The Koi Gigapod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, supporting the Republic of Ireland women's national team during their World Cup qualifiers this month.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koi Gig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you to talk about what was an entertaining, if slightly nerve-wracking match in Gdansk. But the important thing is that we came out with all 3 points against Poland in a game that we have been building up since the moment that these games and this group was announced a couple of months ago. Joining me to look back on that game and where it all went right and perhaps not so right at times for Ireland is Karen Duggan and Scarlett Heron. Guys, delighted to have you here and delighted to be spending a morning talking about a positive Ireland result, especially one that I think has been in our minds for so long and it's so much potential to go wrong. But Karen, that didn't happen.
It didn't happen, and we were really positive after the France and Netherlands games. Obviously, they resulted in defeat, and the girls were all saying afterwards, oh, we're disappointed not to get out now at the games, but the performances were really largely positive. But we kind of had that thing where we always play well against the teams that are ranked ahead of us. What happens to us when we play the teams that are in and around us, those games that we're saying will take us to the next level? We had tended to struggle pace in this game. I didn't feel that for any of it. We dominated possession. Yes, there are times where we seem to be switching off, and obviously the fact that it's coming from set pieces and defensively, it's new to us. We're not used to it. But the fact that we're scoring 3 goals in a game and creating more chances, it was really positive. I felt like the performance mirrored what we did against France, against the Netherlands, and when you perform like that against an opposition in and around your own ranking, this is the reward for it, and it's a mentality shift thing, and that's huge for this team.
Yeah, Scarlett, myself and yourself chatted about it last Friday before the game, and we talked a bit about what Aoife Mannion said, that Carla Ward had been trying to drill into team, and that was consistency and a lack of complacency, and obviously two things that we very much supported and we wanted to see for this team, that we really thought would be a sign of growth for the side, and that's exactly what we got. Now, you would say maybe, and Carla Ward did talk about this post-match yesterday, you know, letting in the goals was a disappointment and we did maybe make life a little bit harder for ourselves than was necessary. But it really does go to show that she is bringing this team along to where the place that she wants. And when she says things like consistency and a lack of complacency, the team are believing it and they're also able to pull out on the pitch as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that consistency is so important. Like, we knew when Carla came in that she was going to try play a different brand of football. And, you know, there has been highs and lows so far. But I think, you know, that performance last night really sort of showed us the football that she does want to play, and that, you know, the time that she has had with the players in the last, you know, year or so, that she has been able to implement that style. And obviously the players have taken it on board and have now been able to put on 3 really good performances back to back. As Karen mentioned, like, it's playing this opposition that are closer to us in terms of FIFA ranking, that was going to be the test for us to see if we could. And like me and you spoke about it, Kathleen, like going toe to toe with them. And I think that, you know, that's exactly what the girls did. You know, they were flying out of the blocks very early on. And I think Carl even said after the game that she was expecting Poland to come at them at the start with a bit more aggression, and that just didn't happen. So Ireland were able to bring the storm to Poland as opposed to the way around. So I think a really, really impressive performance overall.
I think you're right, Scarlett. I think that was key, that we started so positive, because you could see glimpses from Poland that they had some individual performers that could damage us, but we stifled them completely from the off. They were on the back foot. It felt like they had no midfield compared to us. We spoke about them transitioning, and yes, they got it to the top three, but their midfield was never really part of that link up, whereas ours really was. And yeah, I just think hugely positive, and we can talk about the goals that we conceded. But if we're to give credit, they were two world-class goals that Poland scored as well. Like that header was so difficult to get and like to go behind you and get it. The power that she did was excellent. And then obviously there was one player on the pitch who could have scored Poland's second goal, and that was Payor. But apart from that, we didn't give her the opportunities to recreate anything like that throughout the game. Like Courtney wasn't busy. It wasn't her finest game, but she wasn't busy. So it was happy days.
Yeah, it was strange watching the way that, especially I would say ahead of the first goal that Poland scored, how little service they were giving Payor. Was that us being particularly good at keeping her out of the game, or was that a reluctance from the Polish side?
I felt like they were just struggling a little generally. Their decision making, obviously Ireland's press was quite good, but there were glimpses in the first half where they were transitioning and they just took the wrong option. If I was them, I would have put a ball in behind. Obviously we've got a very good defensive shape at the back, but they're not the quickest. And on transition, we have looked shaky before. So I just don't think that they executed it perfectly. And there's always the danger that they'll get that right in the second leg. But I just felt in terms of general play, pressure that Ireland put them under made them make poorer decisions than we probably expected them to. They really should have just lumped it forward a little bit quicker on transition sometimes and just put a foot race on the cards, but they didn't do that enough. I was a little bit disappointed by Poland, I have to say. Obviously it was a tight game, but in terms of the quality of their play, transitionally good. Yes, their right winger was good, but other than that, it was Ireland who were creating those little pockets and showing kind of the impetus to play more football, which is really positive.
Yeah, because it wasn't exactly the easiest conditions, which, you know, it's not something we're necessarily not unfamiliar with in some of the games that we've had to play. But, you know, the surface was pretty rough, both literally and figuratively.
People do underestimate that. People are like, oh, you know, like we played on that growing up. When you get used to it in Scarlett, you'll know, like, even in the League of Ireland, if we came across a pitch that had a few lumps and bumps on it, it does actually affect you. And that sounds very precious to say that, because we're obviously in a very privileged position to have played on better pitches as we got older. But it really does impact it, like your touch and everything. You really have to think, take an extra touch, get your body behind the ball. It does make a huge difference. And obviously it was the same for both teams, but it certainly does impact it. And it'll be poles apart from what we're going to experience on Saturday, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I think even Denise O'Sullivan was saying after the game that, you know, it wasn't necessarily a day for a silky smooth football. Sometimes your best bet was just lumping the ball wherever you could to keep it in play and to keep the team moving forward. Scarlett, let's look at that first 20 minutes. I don't know how I enjoyed a first 20 minutes of football in that way in a long time. I was texting my dad because he couldn't watch the game and he was just like, is this game going to end, you know, 5-0? What's going on? And one of the things that we said on Friday as well was it would be great to see more goals from play from this side. And obviously they must be listening to the podcast, because the goals that we did get throughout the game, they're all pretty good goals. What I know we said, and like Karen mentioned it already, about like the team coming out and just playing football in that first like 20-30 minutes. But like what was the difference? Like what was the driving force in that team that actually got us those two goals, bar one particularly spectacular volley, of course?
Yeah, well, I think it was, as spoke about, like going out with that intent and that aggression from the off, you know, knowing that Poland are a very difficult team to break down. And I think that just the goals just show confidence, like the confidence that are in those players at the minute, and obviously the confidence that Carla and the staff have instilled within them, just to go on to be confident enough to take those strikes, because they're three really good finishes. Like even we've spoken about Emily Murphy, and like you were talking about, you want her to go that extra few yards and, you know, get a strike away, or, you know, that final decision. And that's exactly what she did throughout the game yesterday, like with her passing, with her finishing as well. Like the way she took that goal, keeper probably won't want to watch that one back in terms of wanting to do better with it. But I think it's in the corner, you know, it's low and hard. That's exactly what you need in that position, and it gets us going. And then like the strike from Katie is just, it's world class. Like it's one thing that, you know, we probably don't see enough from in an Ireland shirt, and like we've seen her score goals like that from Arsenal, but like that was just a spectacular strike. So I think once we get the second goal, you know, we can calm a lot more. And you know, Poland, I thought we adapted to the pitch a lot better than they did in terms of just general play. Like I thought they were sloppy, like, you know, even playing out from the back, we sat in kind of like a mid block and we were very well set up. I think we got the press spot on. But like even when they're passing it around their back four, like the passes were going behind players, you know, there was either too much or too little on it, like they weren't getting to grips with the pitch. And you know, it was like, as Karen mentioned, like I was disappointed with them as well. I expected a lot more from a team who we have seen perform very well in the last few years. So yeah, I think it's credit to how we came out. I think we shocked them a bit in that opening 20 minutes. I don't think they were expecting us to come out of the blocks that fast. And obviously, like the quick goal to start us off, I think settled any nerves in our camp, and rattled them.
Yeah, McCabe and spectacular strikes was kind of the order of the day, both good and bad, obviously, with the
The
penalty
technique
miss
is
as
so
well.
hard, though. The technique is so hard to keep your eye on it and to get a clean strike. You know, some of the people who've scored those from the edge of the box, but they actually hit their ankle and stuff. This was sweet through the instep. It was a lesson. And then she probably overthought the penalty because she was like, right, power seems to be working today. That's the order of the day. We'll stick with it. Look, she's allowed a mistake.
Well, I
That's it
think
now.
there,
That's it for the rest of the campaign. That's it.
yeah, that's it. I think there was even a video of her walking away from the penalty and kind of like just before she kind of put her hand over her mouth, she was kind of saying to someone like that was bad. So I think she was well aware herself that that wasn't her finest moment. But I think the earlier strike, and especially since we walked away with the points, kind of cancels it all out. Karen, Scarlett mentioned there Emily Murphy, and we talked a bit about her last week after Aoife Mannion, who also was excellent yesterday, praised her in the press conference ahead, well, the kind of media day ahead of the match. I'm curious to see, like, hear what you've seen different from her because, you know, we've talked about it all the way back to Metz when she made her competitive debut and she was pulled at half time, and there was a lot of chat in the lead up to when she joined the team of, you know, who is this player? I remember on Off the Ball, we had a couple of English journalists on who had watched her at an academy level in like the academy version of the WSL and had all spoken really highly of her. And it seems to be what they saw then is what we're starting to see now. And I don't know if that's the consistency of getting the time at Newcastle, but you know, three player of the match awards in a row for someone who isn't Kaney McCabe or Denise O'Sullivan is pretty big.
Yeah, it's huge and they've been deserved. I would put it down to maturity, maturing. Obviously within her game, but also within herself. If she was getting that level of praise when she was at Chelsea as a teenager, it's very hard not to buy into your own hype. And then obviously she had to go to America, change colleges, come back and ply her trade in WSL too. So that's a world apart from being Chelsea's next superstar. But now she is working obviously very, very hard. Her fitness levels are impeccable. Like she never stops. And that was like testament to the block she got in later in the second half, like, that she was still able to get back despite all the work she does in terms of a press and getting forward. And we so often see her get down the channel when we're in trouble, pick up a ball and even win us a throw in or the free kick or the penalty, which no one seems to be questioning the penalty. I thought it was exceptionally soft, but she was in the position to do it. She was clever. She has that maturity level to her game now. And I think it's not just her ability that's maturing. I think it's just her attitude and everything like that. And that's allowed, everyone should be allowed to go through that period and have that grace. And Katie had to do it when she went to Glasgow. There's some things that you have to learn that aren't just down to sheer talent. And I think she has that now, and she's in an environment around a lot of people who show what it takes to get to a really high level. Like you can imagine coming into a squad and you've got Katie right behind you, you've got Denise inside you. You have people to model your professionalism off within that team. And I think their leadership is part of what's bringing her on, and obviously her own drive, which is brilliant, and long may it last.
Yeah, for sure. I actually did think the penalty was quite soft as well, but I did think...
I didn't even see contact.
But that's what I kind of thought from her perspective was quite smart, in that she wasn't going anywhere. She got herself in a position where, you know, there was three Polish players around her. The slightest bit of contact, I don't think there was any VAR last night. You know,
definitely
so like the
not.
Slightest...
It couldn't have been.
I mean, the whole stadium was pretty impressive apart from the pitch. So I was like, maybe there is VAR. But like, you know, she got herself in that position. She wasn't going anywhere. She made the most of the moment. Now, obviously, it would have been great if we'd scored it, and it would have put my heart rate down a little bit for the final like few minutes of the game. But I thought even that it was smart play from her. Although I don't know if you guys saw...
smart, but if it happened against us, we'd be looking for a yellow card.
Oh yeah, you'd be absolutely raging.
Yeah.
But speaking of going down in the penalty box, I don't know if you guys saw Alessia Russo's assist for England against Spain last night. So they scored within the first like 2 or 3 minutes. She went down in the box. That was a clear and obvious penalty, I thought. But she managed, even with like 3 or 4 Spanish players around her, she managed to chip it to Hemp, who put it in the back of the net. And that was the only goal of the game. And it was one of those great moments where you're like, she easily could have just cried foul and they probably would have got a pen. But instead, because of probably how well she's playing at the moment, her mindset was like, no, no, no. I can
I think she has that honesty as well, though, doesn't she? You'd be a bit frustrated with her sometimes. She needs to find the middle ground. But yeah, I do admire her for, she's never someone who you've really seen go down softly. And she gets a lot of special attention in that England and Arsenal team. So she is the type of player that you can just, there's a reason she's so universally liked, even by rival fans.
Yeah,
just kind of has that honesty in her. But we're happy to take whatever penalties we have coming our way over the next few months.
Yeah, you just need someone to score them.
They will.
Yeah. Is there an argument? I was talking to some friends about this last night. Is there an argument for there being other penalty takers and it not necessarily being McCabe that steps up and takes it? Obviously, the lad, Karen is already shaking her head for anyone listening to this on podcast. I'm confident in so much of what she does all the time. But just with the penalties, sometimes it's probably the one thing that slightly worries me sometimes, because we've just seen the sky over rocket once or twice.
Well, who would you put on them? I would be thinking the other person who takes set pieces is Megan Connolly, and we haven't had her consistently starting.
Yeah,
I don't know who else. It has to be someone who can take the pressure as well.
Yeah,
and who can shoulder it, and that's where you start to think, okay. It's not Denise's forte. She's not a set piece taker. Who else within that? You're looking then maybe at a centre back? No.
Yeah.
I'd be reluctant, I think, to give it to anyone else, just because we know Katie can take the pressure. She's faced more adversity than missing a penalty before.
Yeah, a lot more.
In recent times.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I just wanted to throw it out there.
I know where you're coming from. I do know where you're coming from. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's where else you would go after that.
It is the lack of options.
And then as soon as someone misses another penalty, it's like, well, why would you ever have taken them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, and then the narrative changes totally against them. Scarlett, obviously we've talked about a lot of the positives, but at the same time, as I said earlier, we didn't make life easy for ourselves. And, you know, it was nervy until that final whistle went. And we saw in the French and Netherlands games that, you know, we could play really good football. We could get some goals, but we let them both back into the game. And we very nearly did the same yesterday. But the only difference was this time we actually did manage to thankfully hold on. But again, not in the easiest way. How can we prevent that from happening in the Aviva on Saturday? Because you know, the first goal that we let in, it came at that crucial time that we hate, like just before, just after halftime. And like their goals were good, but you could feel the pressure starting to come on from them, especially in the second half when they came back out onto the pitch. And this very easily could have been a different result, despite the dominance that we had.
Yeah, like I think they'll be probably disappointed with both goals. Like obviously every goal is preventable, but I think with the corner, like we spoke about that time, as you say,
two players out. That felt like an oversight to me. Like, did someone forget to do their job there?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a simple thing, like it's easy fix, but I suppose in the moment there was probably, I'm not sure if it was communicated. It might be one of those things where, you know, someone on the front post is screaming at someone else to go out, but they have a player, and you know, there is that area where miscommunication can happen, and you know, maybe that's down to someone not knowing their role, I don't know, but that's preventable, that's very easily preventable. And I think it's a pity, because we're becoming a team now that, you know, has conceded from set pieces in the last few games, and it's something that, you know, an Irish team will always pride themselves off being good at. So that's definitely an area I think if we can strengthen that for the second game on Saturday, I'd be confident that they'll have a look at it and, you know, be able to prevent that from happening again. But then I said, like the second goal, like she's the only player on the pitch who could score that, who could finish that in the way she did. But I think it's, you know, it's two passes and they're over the top of our back line. So I think that is more, you're looking at the source of that goal rather than the actual finish itself. You're looking at how they strung, you know, two passes and they were in behind. So I think that's something that, you know, is just down to maybe someone jumping in the wrong area, or, you know, not putting enough pressure on the ball initially. So I think they're two easy fixes. And I think overall, like, we did defend very well. And I think we did soak up the pressure of the last 20 minutes very well as well. Like you look at the first half, even very early on, Anna Patton had that block on Bajor. And like, that's a game winner. Because that changes the complexity of the game in that moment. When Poland were probably, you know, just catching us on the break a little bit, and, you know, getting good territory up the pitch. So I think that was a huge moment as well. But I think overall, like when you look at the way we set up as well, like I was speaking about, like me and Kathleen, we were speaking about the way they would set up and whether Carla would switch that four. And I said that, you know, I thought it'd be pessimistic if she didn't, but I think the way that the five was, it was more like a 3-5-2 than a 5-3-2, you know, like I thought the wing backs did an incredible job. I think Aoife Mannion had a really, really strong game in just like being on the front foot at all times. You know, there was no sort of letting them come at us in a low block sort of fashion. It was, you know, front footed football, getting out in front of your player. And, you know, we got a lot of joy out of being on the front foot, intercepting and then being able to go forward. Like, I think that's one of the best games I've seen Aoife Mannion play in the last while. I thought she was excellent. And then you have Katie, obviously, on the other side. So to be fair, I think that they got that spot on. So I wouldn't say they'll change too much for the second game. But I think if we can just tidy up those little small things, I think we can prevent, you know, the two goals.
I think we said it before, but I think key to the system is the amount of ground that Shiva and Denise can cover, both defensively and in attack. We lose either of them, we lose that energy. And we saw it a little bit against the Netherlands. We struggled a bit in the first half till we got to grips with it. Very difficult to play in a three-man midfield when you're under a lot of pressure and their full-backs are bombing forward. Especially when we kind of tend to be too safe and have a reluctance to release one of the centre-backs to go in with the 10. So we end up with a really strict back five who are dealing with three players, and that allows the midfield to get a little bit overrun. So we're very lucky that Denise and Shiva can kind of cover two players, and if we didn't have that level of energy in the middle, it might be a different story. You might be looking at a 5-4-1 against a better opposition than Poland now. But for now, just concentrate Poland, more of the same, please and thanks.
Yes, definitely more of the same. Scarlett, you said that you wanted to see a bit more of Abby Larkin, hopefully, in these two games. And she came in yesterday for Carusa, who had to withdraw just ahead of the game because she had illness. Do you think that Carla Ward will go back to having Carusa in the squad, or did Abby do enough yesterday to kind of prove that, you know, she has a right to start on Saturday?
Yeah, like I think it'll obviously depend on how Kira is and how she recovers from that bug she picked up. But yeah, no, I thought Abby probably had a bit of a frustrating game, I'd say, for herself. But I thought, she picks up great pockets, and when she does get on and she gets turned, I think she is very, very powerful. Like with her speed, you've seen a few balls in behind that just probably didn't fall the right way for her. But I think you look at our ability sort of to get out wide. We spoke about that on Friday, how this Polish team are quite weak in wide areas. And I think once we got the ball out there, whether it was Aoife Mannion for the Mirosława goal, Emily Murphy found that pocket inside and we was able to turn and get the ball to the edge of the box very quickly. And I think that's where Poland struggled a lot as well. And Abby Larkin picked up a lot of those pockets too, just in that half space between the sort of midfield and their back line. So I think that's an area where, she brings a lot of strength too. But obviously, like Kira's gonna, if she comes back into training this week, it'll be interesting to see what Carla does do. But I mean, I think they offer two different things as well. I think Abby's probably better in behind and better on the ball in terms of going at 1v1 with a defender. That's probably she probably I suppose suffers with the system that we do play. I think she'd probably be better in a wide position rather than playing as a central striker with Emily Murphy. But to be fair, I think being thrown in last minute like would never be easy. Obviously your preparation's always going to be 100%, but it's a different mindset, going to bed that night and thinking that you're going to be coming on for the last 20 minutes versus, being on for the first 75. It's a different mindset. So I think given that, I think she did her job very well. And yeah, I'd be excited to see her again on Saturday, in some capacity, whether it's off the bench or from the start.
I think we can add in an additional option there. Someone who's kind of in between is Jessu. I think Jessu is kind of a little bit of Caruso and a little bit of Larkin, and having her back will be brilliant once she gets to the speed of things again. We were so buzzing the last time she was really starting to take off for Ireland, and hopefully we can get her hitting form at the right time as well. We will need options off the bench when it comes
100%.
down to it, and we have instances like we had yesterday with Caruso.
Yeah, you could even hear it on the comms whenever she came on. Anya O'Gorman was on, and the excitement between both of them actually just about seeing her back on the pitch. And obviously, no one expects her to be back to the levels that she was whenever, I remember particularly that game that we played against England over in Norwich. She was brilliant there, and in a game where we really struggled to have any sort of creative output, she was the person doing it. So hopefully, as you say, Karen, she can get back. And I suppose most importantly as well, it's just brilliant to see her back on the pitch in general, because
Exactly,
she,
yeah.
for a young player, she has gone through so much already. And hopefully, I'm touching wood here at home, hopefully that's the end of the major crisis for her, because she does deserve a good run at things, both at club level and at international level. I remember, I can't remember if you were with me, Karen, when we interviewed her for the podcast, like back when we first started, and obviously she was a lot younger then, and even then, like just chatting to her
We were
football
young then as well, Catherine. I was spring chicken.
toddlers. But even then, like her mind for football was just so interesting, and the way she looked at things. And I think that was just before she made her move over to the WSL, so she hadn't even had that experience yet. So yeah, hopefully the podcast sends her all the best wishes, and hopefully we get to see her creating some magic in this group and in Brazil next year. Karen, the word of the week has been consistency. So how do we keep consistent, and how do we bring this back to the Aviva? All the players last week talked about how big this match is going to be. It was almost like, let's get over Gdansk, and then there's this the big one is the Aviva. It's afternoon on Saturday. It's gonna draw a crowd. Everyone seems very hyped for this one, which, again, no matter how many times we win a game, we're probably always going to be slightly worried about. But how do we maintain that consistency that we've seen in this game into Saturday?
Continue to play as a team, continue to focus on what's in front of you. I think not getting distracted, obviously, by the crowd, it shouldn't make any difference. We're in a really good position now. So, as Carla said, if we're not complacent, we will be consistent, because the performances, that's three good performances in a row. They're not going to change tactics. There's no need to. I think we showed that we can play very good football against a team of this opposition. So if we don't get ahead of ourselves and we continue to do the simple things right, which we have been doing, not trying to, like you say, it's not been beautiful football, but we're creating those triangles. So it's simple, get the ball forward in those positions, even if it's up to Murphy to create a set piece and just cause a bit of chaos and a bit of uncertainty in the opposition area. Do that early doors, get on the front foot, and we should be okay. The only enemy we potentially could have now would be ourselves, based on what we saw. And well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I thought that there was a distinct difference in quality between us and Poland in that game. So if we tidy up those little things, the set pieces, and play the same way, that's it. That would be the consistency. And you get four games where you've performed at that level. I don't think we've had that before. We've always had that little dip against the oppositions that were in and around our own ranking. And because we've kind of maybe got that monkey off our back, should be all positive mindset going into this.
Scarlett, obviously, if you're to ask for one thing you want to see more of on Saturday, it's going to be goals, potentially a clean sheet. But was there anything that you saw yesterday that you'd like us maybe to cut out of our game, or maybe something that you'd like to see a little bit more of?
Well, I think just I loved the how positive the wing backs were, and then obviously with the, as Karen mentioned, the help they get from the three in midfield as well, I think is a catalyst to how they can then go on and play. I just love that we were so front-footed. I love that we were aggressive, you know. We weren't running around like headless chickens on the press either. Like, Poland really struggled to break lines when they were trying to play out, and even though we might have been deep at times, you know, they really didn't, you know, they couldn't really get through the block that we had in place. So I think that's really positive, and it gave us that license then when we wanted to, you know, bomb forward and to get bodies forward. And I think another thing that I was really impressed with was the bodies in the box that we did have when the ball was in wide areas. Now, the ball wasn't always delivered, or the ball that went in wasn't always perfect, but we're getting bodies in the box, you know, we're locking the box, which is something that I think is so important, because it can keep that pressure on a team when they can't, you know, if they clear it, we're on the second ball. And I think that's something that was crucial yesterday. And something that we probably haven't seen is obviously getting those bodies into the box, you know, getting our front two and then our midfielders and maybe even like an opposite wing back to lock the box then come central. I think it's really, really important. So I love seeing that. And then, to be fair, there's not many negatives to take from the performance. I think the two goals we've already spoken about, if we can just tidy up a few things, I think we'll be in a much better place on Saturday. And I think clean sheet will be at the forefront of their minds, because I feel like we have the solidity to get a clean sheet. And I think that would give us a great platform then, you know, if we can keep the clean sheet, I think our forwards and our, you know, our scoring players are in good enough form and are in good enough headspace at the minute to be able to provide more goals on Saturday. So I think if we can get that clean sheet and, you know, keep solid at the back, I think the rest will just come naturally.
Yeah, because as we have seen from yesterday's results in the rest of the group, you know, Netherlands with a decent win against France. France didn't manage to score a goal. It was an own goal that they let in, 2-1 result for Netherlands. So the group still is very much up in the air. You know, I think most people looking at that game ahead of time would have predicted that France would have won, and France would have won it, not comfortably, but they definitely would have, you know, being able to score a couple of goals against that Dutch side. So there's still a lot to play for in this group in general.
There is, but all we kind of care about is Poland. Mm. We get the 6 points against Poland. I think that's what we'd earmarked.
I mean it more in the sense Poland that, like, getting a point. Netherlands were actually able to get a result against France, which means that, surprised, you know, the French they're not, you know, infallible, obviously we played well against them in Tala, but they were still able to come back at us. Netherlands,
it felt inevitable.
So and Netherlands had that draw with Poland while they played them away. So, you know, it's interesting, I suppose, in the fact that obviously we are just concentrating on Poland, but if we can sneak an extra point or an extra 3 points, not to get ahead of myself, but, you know, like,
we're going to win the World Cup.
Yeah, obviously. Spain who? England who? but if we can get something extra and even put in some, great performances against those sides. It's interesting in that context. Like, obviously, I know we're not going to top the group or anything wild like that. Although, imagine that'd be a fun day. I think the podcast will just have to go on hiatus for about 6 months. okay, so favorite time of the podcast, Scarlett. You said last week you would have been happy with a draw coming away. What is your prediction for Saturday?
Yeah, I think we can't get too ahead of ourselves. I always find it, like I'd say, Karen, you're the same. I think when in any level, whether it's at the top level or even, you know, in the league at home, if you're playing against a team 2 weeks in a row, whether it's a cup match and a league match that are very evenly matched, I find it's very rare that a team will win the two games. I just find that, you know, it's very, very difficult to do that. And you see that at the top level as well. If you're playing 2 weeks in a row, whether it's, you know, a Saturday to a Saturday, or in this case, it's even closer together, I find it that it rarely ever happens. So I'd be sceptical, but I think Ireland, if they perform like they did yesterday, there'll be no issues. So I would like to see an Ireland win and a clean sheet. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 win, but I'm going to keep that in mind that, you know, it's very difficult to do back-to-back against the same team within a few days.
Karen?
Yeah, I'd absolutely echo that. I think that it could be a little nervy one. I think the quality that we have should shine through, but I don't see us going out scoring 3 goals either. That's a level that's the next level, maybe. I think possibly a 1-0. Obviously, I think the Scarlett's right. I think a clean sheet has to be a major focus here. Like, obviously, a draw is not the worst result. We have the quality to score goals now, but I think that needs to be something that we tidy up if we do have ambitions of getting any more points in this group.
Mm. Would
but yeah,
because I kind of questioned Scarlett on this last week when she said about the draw, but would a draw would be a bad result, would it not, in this game? I totally get what you guys are saying in terms of it's really hard to go against the same team when you're at a similar level in such a short space of time. We've always seen it. But if our ambition is to finish ahead of Poland and we have the home advantage, and I know that hasn't always gone for us, like we saw it with the Wales playoff, you know, it's not necessarily a guarantee of anything going well, but considering how we played and considering that first 20 minutes and kind of knowing what we need to do a little bit more against them, would that not be a bad result?
It would, but if I was Poland, I'd be setting up a lot more defensively. I wouldn't be leaving as much space in midfield and be given as much joy down the flank. So I think that we don't need to change anything, but if I was Poland, I'd be changing quite a bit. So we're kind of, it's how we would adapt to that. If Poland come out the exact same way, we can expect a similar pattern in the game, I would imagine, but I can't imagine that Poland would. I think Poland, again, having got that point against Holland, probably thought, right, we'll go at Ireland here, and why wouldn't they? You know, why wouldn't they? But I think lessons learned would teach you there that there's they were too far off in and around the box. They left too much space. They needed, as much as we need to lock on from set pieces, they needed to do it better from general play. So they have the week now to work on that stuff, maybe just on the tactics board, and try and drill that home. So I think that they will change, and that's why it could take us a while to just figure that out. So yes, it would be a result based on our ambitions, and I think we should win, but we don't know how adaptable Poland are yet.
Well, the nerves have been properly set. I was like, I thought I'd get 24 hours out of glee before I started worrying about Saturday. If you do want to go along to the game, obviously there are tickets on sale, and you 100% should. I was at the Northern Ireland game that was in the middle of the day there. I've obviously been to plenty of games in the Aviva, but there is something different about going to a game at that time. It's very, very fun. And if you want to win tickets, Off the Ball, in association with Cadbury, are giving away a pair of free tickets to the game. So if you check out Off the Ball's social media, you will see links to post there as to where you can enter that competition. I think it's as simple as liking and resharing a post, I believe. So basically you're making money if you go and you enter that. But yeah, definitely if you can make it along to the Aviva, and if we do make it to the World Cup in Brazil next year, you'll have all the gloating rights that you were there along the way for the qualifiers. The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. We will be back after the game, most likely next Monday, to look back on what hopefully is another excellent performance from Ireland. But for now, Karen and Scarlett, thank you very much. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Look forward to talking about all the pain and that we often go through during matches. Just during the match, and then at the end, it'll be all celebrations. I'm 100% sure. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you all again very, very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, supporting the Republic of Ireland women's national team during their World Cup qualifiers this month.